Hello, my friend. Jeff C. here with a great new resource that I put together just for you. It's a complete database of all the tools that I use to create content and run my business. I've got apps, software, hardware, and even my favorite AI tools. It's easy to find what you need and tells you exactly how I'm using them in my business. To get access to my toolbox, just go to jeffc.com/toolbox. That's J-E-F-F. S is in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C. That's how my mama had me learn it. So go check it out. And if you haven't heard me say it in a while, I appreciate you listening, my friend. And now, on with the episode.
Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interests in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world, one man will assist you on your journey. To become a pinner and grow your presence online, men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host,
Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. First of all, I want to apologize to my listeners for being gone from this podcast for such a long time. From client work to multiple speaking opportunities, I really let this podcast slide. But no more! I've got a great group of upcoming guests that I think you will really enjoy, starting with today. But first, I want to tell you about a group coaching opportunity I'll be offering. I'm getting ready to launch an 8-week in-depth live Pinterest training that will be offered to a select few. I'm really wanting to keep the class sizes down so we can really work together to get your Pinterest account driving traffic and giving you the results that you need for your business. If you're interested in finding out more, send me an email at jeff@manlypinteresttips.com. That's jeff@manlypinteresttips.com. Well, today we're going to be talking all about how to engage your fans on social media, and I can't wait for you to meet my guest. Dawn Schwick-Renshaw is one of the biggest supporters of this show, and her encouragement has meant the world to me. So I invited her to be a guest on my show. Dawn stresses the importance of authenticity and getting to know your followers in order to put out content that resonates with them. She offers advice on when to start engaging with followers and how to get noticed by influencers. Then she turns the tables and gives me a little mini interview. Well, Dawn is the owner of Stony Creek Social Media, an agency based in Michigan that manages over 50 different businesses on many different platforms. She opened her agency back in 2009, and she really takes pride in getting to know her clients on a personal as well as a professional level as to accurately express their brand via social media. She's a wife, mother, fellow left-hander, and self-proclaimed coffee snob. Dawn is always super supportive and a joy to talk to, so let's jump right into my conversation with Dawn Schwick-Renshaw. Dawn, let's start out first with the questions. How did you get involved with social media? Kind of tell me a little bit about your backstory.
I have been in many different things. I started college and went into the accounting field. And then when I got done, I realized that sitting in a room crunching numbers was not something one I wanted to do. Ever since I was a little girl, all I truly wanted to be was a mom. I thought that was my calling. I wanted to be a mom. So I was a stay-at-home mom when my children were small. And then I transitioned into owning a daycare. And after that, I put a foot into the mortgage industry, of course, right before it tanked.
Right.
I was doing some processing, and then I went into the insurance business, and I was an agent. I loved it, and I had to move, so I wasn't able to transfer my agency, and a good friend of mine from college said, Dawn, he goes, just take a year and just, you know, get some kind of a no-brainer job at Macy's and just kind of figure out what you want to do. And I took their advice, and lo and behold, one of my clients, I had started actually a concierge business. Hmm. Kind of a strange thing, but it was something that, you know, I did everything from picking up dry cleaning to spreadsheets to decorating for Christmas. My strangest one is I took everything out of a kitchen and cleaned it all and washed it and reorganized it. And it literally took 3 days. It was a big house. So anyway, but that long story short, one of my clients was a web designer and he hated Facebook, social media of any kind. And he said, if you'll do this for me, I will be grateful. So I did a bunch of training and the rest is history.
Wow. So did you start mostly in Facebook and then it kind of branch out from there? Is that how it happened?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Back when I first started, I think that was still a majority of where the people were was Facebook.
Gotcha. Well, I wanted you on the show today because one of the things, you have been super supportive of my show, I think, ever since it was started. I mean, you're there promoting, commenting, participating in almost all my shows. So I would call you either like my number one or my super fan or super whatever. But in fact, I want to present you, and everyone's going to have to stick around to the end of the show. I want to present you with a gift that I have for you. So everyone needs to stick around and see what that is. But since you're also a social media professional, and you can kind of see the other side of the business, what do you think it takes today to be noticed on social media from like when you started in 2008 on Facebook?
Well, thank you, Jeff. I'm super geeked. I love gifts. I'm a gift person. So
cool.
I love gifts. One thing that I have really been fortunate to be able to cross paths with quite a few people that have kind of patchwork quilted me into who I am today. And one of the people I really, really resonate with is Brian Fanzo and his hashtag Show You Care. And I think that's what it is. I mean, like with you, it's like, I think that you have very valuable information. And in order for me to show you that I care, I was one of your fans. I shared it with my followers because I thought what you had was important. And I think you just really have to show people that you care, whether it's people that influences that you are following or your fans. When I take on a client, I actually become them, you know, on Facebook. And I have a cute story. I have a pizzeria that I've been doing their social media, and it was cute because this little old lady, every Friday or Saturday, she would post, "We're coming in for pizza. You know, oh, we have a wedding on Saturday, so we have to come in on Saturday and or Friday," and you know, just every single week. And so when I went in and had my monthly meeting with the owner, I said, "Do you know this lady?" He goes, "Oh yeah, she's been coming in for 25 years. I said, "Have you ever given her free pizza?" He goes, "I've never thought about it, Dawn." And I'm like, "Well, you might want to." And you know, and it was one of those things where, you know, I always feared I would be in a store and I'd run into her and I was going to run up and hug her because, you know, but she knows me as the pizza place, but I know her. And it's just one of those things where, you know, you have to be authentic and you have to care about your people and you have to be what they want you to be, not what I always tell people. You know, as a business owner, you want to tell your audience this, but they want to hear this. So it's kind of like that transition where you have to translate it into what your audience wants to hear.
Right. And I think that's important too, that you know, you go back to that pizza example, that you went in there, you saw the, this one lady, and you're not trying to build buzz or hey, look at me when we're going to give this lady free food, but you're saying, you know, you're just showing you're being gracious and thankful, and people notice that. But you're not going, you're being authentic in the middle of that too. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to, hey, I gave this person free food, everyone look at me. You're doing it in a way that's, hey, thanks for supporting the store, here's a free pizza on us, thanks so much for all you do, kind of a thing. And that does make a difference.
Yeah. And he's like, well, should I take a picture with her with the, you know, and I said, no, I said, you know, it'll do. And so what happened is the next week, of course, she wrote this big, long review about how wonderful it was and how many times they've had like friends in town. They brought them there. And so, you know, I said, you have to give without expecting anything in return.
Very good point. This kind of leads to another question. You know, Dustin Stout had a great article a couple weeks ago on his blog about follower counts. Now, do you think they matter in the long run? I mean, you've run, I think up, you said in your bio, over 50, you know, small businesses and social media accounts. So do you think follower accounts really matter for social media when you're running those accounts?
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I really believe that you have to take a fine mix of what is and what isn't. You know, you can have, you know, first of all, Dustin Stout. I'm a huge Dustin Stout fan too. He's the one that I credit for my bulletproof coffee addiction. But you know, you look at the followers, but you can have a million followers, and if nobody's engaging, if nobody's commenting, if nobody's ultimately going to your website, if nobody's ultimately buying your product and service, it doesn't matter. I would rather have 100 engaged followers that I'm commenting and sharing what I'm doing, and you know, and know me, as opposed to a million people that don't know me and I don't know them.
Right, right. So what about if you're a marketing professional? That's a different story. Because I always tell everybody says, oh, I don't look at my follower counts. They're lying. They do too. You know, most people look at them. But they're vanity metrics. But if you're, to be honest, I think I have gotten clients because they've looked at my numbers. Now, does that really matter at all? No, but as a marketing professional, I think it gives me a little, I know what I'm talking about, cloud, even though you can game all of those systems. So what do you think about marketers? Does it matter for them?
Again, I think if you look at somebody, and I try to look at, I've just really in the last couple of years dove into Twitter and completely understand it and love it. But, you know, I look at people and they have like 8 billion Twitter followers and they're following 6 people. To me, that just does not say warm fuzzy to me. But right. I understand someone who has, you know, 100,000 Twitter followers and they're following 20,000 people. So, you know, I can understand that. And so, you know, I just think that, yeah. And whenever I meet with a new client, the first thing that they say is, I want 8 billion, Facebook likes. And it's like, no, you don't.
Right, right. I can buy you those. You know, we all know what happens when you buy followers. Pizza on the Cheap says, I will take 10 engagers over 10,000 deadheads anytime. I am not referring to the Grateful Dead. And that leads to our next question. Dustin goes on to argue in that article, he argues for engagement. Now, we talk about engagement all the time as marketing people, but he defines it as interactions, exchanges, and actions taken on your content. So to me, that means content is key. So is there a certain type of content that you like to use for engagement? Is there a certain, you know, a lot of people use quotables that they use and they say that drives engagement, but is there anything that you really like to use for engagement?
I like questions. I really do. I think that what I try to do when I get on a new client, and I'm one of those people who didn't get into the niche marketing. So I have dentists, doctors, attorneys, body shop, mechanics, coffee shops. and so I have to do my research and get in the heads of their target market and find out, you know, okay, if I was coming to their Facebook page, what would I want to see? And so I ask questions. I have a gal who's like a mobile art studio. They'd have the art parties where they have snacks and they paint with their friends. And, you know, and I ask a lot of questions. You know, her target market obviously is women between like 30 and 50. And so I ask questions about, okay, you know, is your, you know, who finished their laundry before, you know, 8 o'clock on Sunday night? Or, you know, I try to ask questions that not only relate to the product, but it's going to resonate with them and give them, you know, something to think about.
Right. So how soon do you think you should start engaging with your followers if you're just starting on social media? Because I have this question. I've actually had to deal with this with clients before, is that they say, oh, I'm going to really start hitting those comments hard when I reach 1,000 followers or something like that. And I know you probably had to deal with that as well. But for those people who maybe listen to the podcast or who are just getting started, what do you say? When's the best time to start engaging your followers?
Immediately.
I figured you're going to say that. Yeah.
You know, I remember way back when I first got into social media, it was something I was thinking about. I Googled it and found out this or found out that. And one of the things that, you know, I remember so much, and one of my closest, dearest friends who I've never met in real, along with you, Jeff, is Mia Voss. You know, I just kind of reached out to her, you know, and started commenting, liking, sharing. Next thing you know, we're twins and, you know, we right. have the same necklace. And so I think that was one of those things where I think that you immediately have to, otherwise they're going to move on to other people. And that's just going to be the way it is. As you know, I have, you know, the Facebook, Twitter, you know, I've got them all now. And Facebook is still probably my go-to place. And I had a back in the spring of this year, I fell down our basement stairs and had a concussion and was knocked out. And I had a one of my Facebook followers, we weren't Facebook friends. I had never had a conversation. She sent me a private message asking for my street address. And I thought, you know, I'd been hit on the head and I didn't even think about it. So I just sent it to her, you know, it was well, a couple days in the letter, I got a card and a coffee mug saying, you know, I hope you get better. And it was like, okay, that's when it really kind of hit me that, okay, this is real. And since we've become Facebook friends, we've actually referred business back and forth. But it was one of those things, she was kind of like my super fan. She was commenting, liking, sharing, you know, my content. And it was resonating with her because she has a small business. So I think that it's immediately, because those people are going to tell other people and tell other people. So I think if you don't start out right away from day one, it's going to be too late.
Yeah, I think the some of the stats are that people expect now some sort of response on social media for customer service kind of stuff in 24 hours or less. And so especially like on Twitter or some of those fast moving networks, that's even faster. So yeah, you need to be jumping on those comments as soon as you can. The other thing you mentioned, Mia Voss and some other stuff, and some of the power of social, and we're kind of going a little bit off topic, but I wanted to touch base on it on your, because they did engage followers. Like Mia came to, I spoke at Podcast Movement, and she drove and came in to see Shannon Hernandez and myself speak. And so, I mean, that was something that just became from, we had never met in real life before, but she went out of her way to do that. And wow, that's a way to engage people. And I know she's engaged you as well. I've got a sign on my back wall here that Elisa Meredith sent me, and one higher that Mike Alton sent me, just as gifts saying, hey, you know, Merry Christmas, or here's something, you know, thanks for having me on your show or whatever. And so that stuff really does go a long way. I mean, if Mike ever asks for something, I will, as long as it's reasonable, Mike, I will try to do it, because I mean, we have a relationship that's built over, I followed him before he ever followed me. And so, and it's just how relationships grew out of that. So I think the key in building that is a word that we always talk about, and it kind of maybe has lost some meaning, is authenticity. I think I said it right.
I struggle with that word too.
Now, how can you be authentic to your followers? What are some, I mean, we've all seen those social media people who've even been there for a while, but you can really tell they're not being authentic, and they're not, you know, they're putting on a face to maybe look, you know, that they're going to want you to do something after a while. So what are some tips to be authentic in your book?
Whenever this comes up, I always think about when I, you know, working and struggling, and my three kids were younger and they were at home, and it was so cute because I'd be like, okay, everyone get your homework done, like that, and the phone would ring and I'd be like, hello. You know, it's like I authentically wasn't that happy. I was still, but you know, and I think that's what some people do. And very early in my career, I got labeled as the positive princess because everything was always happy with me and coming up roses. And that's not the way my life is. It's not anybody's life, but nobody wants to hear about, you know, but the negative. And so I try to be really positive, and I've been labeled that, and that's who I am. And I authentically, that's who I am. I wake up every day like this, and you just have to be you. And if that's not your strength, then I read a book a few years ago, Strength Finders. And one of my number one strengths is communication. And I have not shut up since.
Well, I like to always say, yeah, you're unique, just like everybody else. So remember that. So Craig is, he's dubbing me the bearded buddy. And that's what, Craig is a great example of somebody who I met. We met and touched base. He came out with a really cool product called Relay That. He came on my show, but I got to meet him at Podcast Movement. I was able to help him get introduced to some people. I mean, so it's just really the networking and the, I think there's less of a barrier between followers and relationships than there used to be, at least for me. I don't see that as much anymore. So now let's talk about influencers. Now, this is a controversial topic, because what is an influencer? Who's an influencer? We're all influencers, you know, that kind of stuff. So do you think it's easier or harder now to get noticed by a so-called influencer, and does it matter?
I think it does matter. And I think the way that, again, you go back to that is just being authentic. I mean, when I was following you and supporting you, you know, I didn't do it with the idea, okay, if I do this for Jeff, then he owes me that. And, right. You know, I love being on your show, and but it was never my intent right. to, you know, to do that. And so I think that it's important, but again, you just have to be yourself and you have to genuinely care. And it has become so much easier. I remember the first time I was on a blab with Michael Stelzner, I was like, okay, wow, this is cool. That or the time that I was on with Brian Kramer, and I run into the living room and I tell my son, I was just on a blab with Brian Kramer. And he goes, I thought you liked Mia. You know, and so my family, he calls all of you my imaginary friends that are in my computer. And but I think it's important, but it's just like with you or just like with me or anybody, you don't want anybody fake in your life.
Right.
And so if you go to an influencer and you want to be seen, I think you have to be able to give them something of value.
And what I tell people, because I had this question, I spoke last week in Kansas for a business group. And one of the things, one of the questions was like, how do I get started? What do I do, you know, in social media? And I'm like, one of the things is make thoughtful comments. You know, that's all I did is I actually read the posts and didn't just put thank you, great stuff, blah, blah, blah. I went, okay, but what about this? Or does this make sense? And I think thoughtful comments go way beyond, because people notice that. I mean, I noticed you because that's what you were doing. You were asking questions during the show, and I could pull your stuff on screen or whatever. And so those thoughtful comments and just showing up, I think, makes a big difference too.
Right. It's been one of those things that I take my friendship and my business relationship with people very important. And, you know, I've been at places with friends before and they're like, I'm like, oh my gosh, Jeff's show's on, you know, and I get out my laptop it wasn't because I expected anything from you.
Right.
That's the way I am. But you could definitely tell that the fake people, and, you know, I always relate it to those emails that you get where it's like, okay, if you give me your bank account, I will put $8 billion in there tomorrow.
Right.
And it's the same thing. You know, you can see those people a mile away.
Tweeting Goddess had a comment. She goes, most influencers are leaders in social media, so they are usually authentic and generally helpful. Comment on their posts, retweet them, etc. They will notice you if you can get involved. And yes, just showing up shows they are supporting you. So yes, I think that's a good way to start, you know, and not, you know, I've seen show up like 3 times for my show, and then they'll send me this long email about promoting their ebook. That's still probably not the best time to do it. I mean, you need to have a little more than that. So now, does it matter which platform you're on? And this is why I asked this question, for getting noticed or engaging your followers. Let's go with engaging your followers. For Instagram, for me right now, that's the best and the quickest way that I'm able to engage with followers. And I don't know if it's just me, but it seems to be from the other clients I've done that you get a lot more engagement over on that platform. Twitter, I think if you do it right, can kind of be the same way. But what are your thoughts? Like Pinterest is, to me, it's really not a social network. It's more of a discovery engine. So if you do comment on, so if somebody pins it and you say, hey, thanks for sharing that, Mike Alton, and he'll go, hey, you know, that stands out, but it's not really kind of a huge strategy. So what are some strategies you have for different platforms?
My one true love is always is Instagram. I mean, I've been a huge Facebook fan, even when, you know, people were like, oh, Facebook is dying. Yeah, right. all 2 billion people of it. But Instagram is my love. I love taking pictures. If I could pick any career other than what I do right now, it would be a photographer. I love taking pictures. So the Instagram is amazing as far as, you know, when you get something out there. And I've met actually a lot of key people on Instagram. And I tell people, you know, when I meet somebody new, I'm like, if you want to know what makes me tick, go to my Instagram account, and people will look at it, and they're, you know, especially if I'm doing it for a client, they'll be like, that isn't going to make people want to buy from me. And it's like, you know, they're wanting me to put up the big sign, please come by, with the flashing lights. And I'm like, that's not what it's about.
Right.
You know? And so I love Instagram, but I think each channel has its own type of engagement. And like you said, with Pinterest, you know, I have some clients that I do their Pinterest boards, but mostly, like you said, it's people go in and search and they find it, and it's like going to Google.
Yeah.
But yeah, my true love is Instagram.
So Facebook, are there any tactics you use? Because I know you started way before I did on Facebook, that you used to engage with your followers. I think it's getting harder and harder to do it, but are there any tactics you have?
I've gone back to the old fashioned, you know, Facebook ads and the boosting of the posts. I just went to a conference here in Michigan called the Social Mitten. And, you know, and there was people there that were talking about, sorry, I've lost my screen.
That's right.
We're talking about, you know, Facebook ads, and I still find them very useful. I'm trying to find you. And I love them. I love Facebook ads. I love boosting a post and going in and actually scheduling a post. And that's where I'm finding a lot of engagement. You know, just trying to get in front of eyes.
Pizza on the Cheap has another question. He goes, how can you engage in Facebook when Facebook controls the direction of your Facebook posts? That's a good point. And that's, I have a feeling, is why Don is using Facebook ads. There's no other, and I love Pinterest promoted pins. I think they're very effective on certain things. But my thing is, I love, like, if I'm working for a realtor, I can target people who are interested in moving in 50 miles of Longview, Texas, and drive ads to them. To me, that is huge, being able to have that much, being able to go that granular on my ads. So that's a big deal. Let's see. So we're getting towards the end of the kind of the halfway point, Don. Where can people go to find out about you and your services?
My website is Stony Creek Social Media. And I always feel like Brian Franzo and Brian's Kramer when I have to say Stony with an E, because people will ultimately, that's the first thing out of my mouth, is Stony Creek Social Media with an E.
Very cool. Awesome. So everybody go give Don some props for being here. And she's going to turn the tables and actually ask me some questions. So I will try to answer those to the best of my ability. So give Don props. And Don, you are now in charge of the show. So you can start the interview. Yeah.
So Jeff, I've been following you on your Instagram account and finding out, oops, there goes off my phone. And what do you do when you're not doing the Manly Pinterest show?
I love to dance. No, I'm just kidding. I'm still getting an echo, Don. I don't know what the deal is. What I do is I have a digital marketing agency here in Longview, Texas, where I've been doing stuff for over 12 years. But really, it's pretty much hang out with my family. I started a couple months ago working for Social Media Examiner, running their Pinterest and their Instagram account, doing some video stuff for them. And so, I'm busy doing social media stuff. I love it. And I actually was, I was drug kicking and streaming. I never liked, you know, when like AOL, I'm dating myself, AOL chat rooms came in, you know, and all that stuff. I hated that stuff. I never did it. I just didn't want to talk to anybody. I wanted to play my computer games, and that was pretty much it. But anyway, so yeah, that's what I do. I'm a beekeeper. I have three hives out in my backyard that when I want to get away completely from the computer. And I also have just started doing wood carving, because that's my dad does it. And so I've been wanting to do something with him. And so that's what we're doing.
Awesome. I've always wondered. And that's what I love people. My daughter has said things. It's like, Mom, you can't possibly love everybody. I'm like, I do. I might not like everybody every day, but I love everybody.
Yeah. Right.
What do you love most about social media? If you had to pick just one thing.
I would say the networking that I have grown as a person more than I ever have and I'm kind of a introvert, extrovert kind of weird thing. I mean, I'm fine being by myself, but it forces me to go out and meet people and network with people. When I went to Social Media Marketing World last year, that just blew my business up. and the networking capabilities there. And yes, Mike, we do need to serve beer and bacon here together.
All right. If you had to pick one person that you've not met yet, who was your social media hero?
My first hero would be Mike Alton, and I've never met him in real life. But he helped me when I first got started on Google Plus. He came on my show when he never really had to. That was a cool thing. I started the Google Hangout show with four other guys who all had more followers than I did. And so that helped me tremendously. A hero who I haven't met yet would Mike. And then I've never met Jay Baer. I saw him at Social Media Marketing World, but I didn't meet in line. I didn't wait in line just to say anything to him. But I would like to meet him. I think he's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, I love the little thing between he and Wade Harmon where the
that was good.
That was cool.
Yeah.
All right. How, and we already answered that early in the show. How soon do you personally, in your opinion, think that people expect to be responded to? If someone sends in a Facebook question or a message, how soon do you think that they ultimately should be responded to?
Well, they say 24 hours, but my thing is I've noticed now, you know, I used to go back and like on Twitter, say thank you for posting and stuff, and that's getting harder. And it's kind of one of my goals is to always do that. And I know I fail, but I try to go thank people, especially if they share my posts. But I would say as soon as possible, if you can, but I understand it gets hard, but you know, if you really tweet like Guy Kawasaki, he usually will tweet you back. And so, I mean, that to me is kind of amazing. So of course he's got a team that helps him too, but you know, Peg is there helping him, but still it's pretty incredible.
It's funny because this is my baby here, my phone, my 6 Plus, and my family all joke that if it gets more than 6 feet away from me, I stop breathing.
Yeah, exactly.
It was cute because I had a 6 and I wasn't eligible for like another year to get the upgrade. And I went in and they said that my husband, we just got married last May, had not used his last 2 upgrades, and my stepson had not used his last 3 upgrades. And I'm like, hallelujah.
I'm getting the 6 Plus. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad because I try not to have my phone at the table. Because I have teenagers, and so they will just, you know, they'll be on it all the time. And I just got a Jeep, and one of the rules now is there's no phones in the Jeep. You can't look at your phone. When you have the everything down and you can look outside, you can't look at your phone. And so, but sometimes I get called on it because I'll have it at the table trying to answer stuff. But anyway, so.
Yeah, I used to say, but I'm working. And it doesn't work anymore. Yeah,
not for teenagers, yeah.
All right. Okay. Now this is a multiple choice question. This is my last question.
Okay.
What do you think the number one task on social media is? Educate, enlighten, self-promotion, customer service, or listen, and why?
I think it's cat videos. That's the number one thing. No.
You've been looking at my Instagram account, haven't you?
Yeah. No, the thing that, number one task, I would say, gosh, it's almost a mixture of two. If you know, I am a big proponent, and Pizza on the Go mentioned this earlier, and I didn't get to his comment, but if you can educate and entertain and have humor at the same time, you're way ahead of everybody else. And so that edutainment kind of thing, I think that's what the goal for people need to be if they want to succeed. And that's what I'm trying to move my brand towards, is that way, because I think people learn better when they're laughing, I think. And so trying to do that, I think, is a big thing. Listening's a big point, too. You know, if you're just blabbing all the time and not listen to your customers or your followers or whatever, you're not going to go anywhere. You'll just be spinning your wheels. And so that's my answer. But, you know, they're all important. Every one of those things you did, but I guess it depends on what you're wanting to get out of social media. Is if you're wanting to, my thing was to network and to educate, and so I think those are kind of important to me.
It's always funny when I get a brand new client and I start posting, you know, and you might have a cat picture in there on Catter Day and all this other stuff. And the first meeting, I usually try to go 2 weeks. We have the initial meeting and set everything up, and then I go 2 weeks, and when I walk in, they're like, what are you doing? What are you, you know, they don't understand that first couple weeks you have to, you know, right. You have to entertain them and educate them and just be their friend. You know, there's not going to be any hard selling in that first couple weeks. And if ever, you're never going to put out there and say, you know, please go to my website and look at this. It's so, you know, it is interesting. Well, that's all the questions I have for you.
Well, Jason T. Weiser from OnTrax Tips asks, when is it okay to sell on social media? Because I know he's really wanting to drop in his link to one of his plugins things, because, I mean, he's Mr. Sell. But no, I think you have to build a relationship first. And I'm teasing Jason T. Weiser because he knows I do that all the time. But he has a great product, by the way. But it's social warfare. He's one of the builders for that. So you can use my affiliate link. But anyway, but I think you have to build a relationship. I don't think you can start selling right away or you're going to drive people away. But yeah, the reason, you know, I'm a big proponent of social warfare, and to be honest with Jason Weiser, is because he has a great product, and they have great customer service, and if I need something, I can text him and he'll answer, and that's because he understands social media and customer service, and, you know, he's got my trust. Now, he could blow that easily, but he hasn't, and he does a really good job with what he does, and we have a relationship because of that. So anyway, that's kind of our show. I want to bring in some people, but I wanted to first of all give Dawn her gift, because she's been so awesome, and she's been just, I mean, really has been there every almost every show. And so I have a ticket for her to the Social Media Success Summit, which I think today it's like it goes up every week, but she gets the ticket to go and see. I think there's 37 people who will be speaking at the virtual summit. I'm going to be one of them. Elisa, who's in the audience, is going to be one. Pegs, a bunch of other people who I'm sure everybody's familiar with. So anyway, Dawn, that is for you. Yay. Thank you so much for going. And I hope to see you next year at Social Media Marketing World, because that will be awesome.
That is too, on so. My bucket list.
So does anybody want to come in? I'm going to unlock I would love to know what you guys, some tips that you have, you know, specific to a certain social media platform or whatever. If you would come in and, you know, give us your tips and whatever, I'm going to unlock that seat. Let's bring in Samantha. Samantha, I'm going to bring you in real quick. What are some of your tips when you come in here that you like to do? Hi, Samantha.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
How you doing? Well, I can hear you fine. So what are some tips that you would give to engage your followers on social media?
Well, particularly Twitter, you were right what you said. And Dawn, your tips are fantastic. You're so right in what you say. I mean, you can't just go on social media or on Twitter anyway and expect to just start selling. You know, you have to build a community first and build a following first, because if you're not engaging with these people, like why should they even entertain your tweets, and why should they even retweet or even consider responding to you? Like, so I see people doing it all the time. They start an account and then they just start tweeting, buy this, have you seen our offer, blah, 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 special offer this. And it's like, who are you talking to? They haven't even built are engaged with the people who follow them. Like, and I find that with big brands, I find especially, you know, you might see 50,000 followers and then they're following like 200 or something. Do you know what I mean? It looks a bit snobby like, and it's like, well, right. How are you engaging with your customers if you're not even, you know, following some back? And, you know, I find as well, hashtags are great. That's what I use to engage, you know, create a hashtag that, like, you know, with like-minded people that you want to connect with. So let's say you are a bridal shop, you know, that you create wedding chat or wedding hour, and you start gathering all these people who are interested that are also in the wedding industry. Because if you're a wedding band and you're going to see your client and then she goes, oh gosh, I must get a candy cart as well. He can say, oh, well, actually, there's a girl that does candy carts. She's on wedding chat. She seems really nice and she seems really good at what she does. He's more likely to recommend the girl that takes part in the chat than, you know, someone they haven't engaged with before, you know. So I find hashtags are a good way to start engaging.
What do you think about lists, like Twitter lists? I find that those are very helpful.
Yeah, they're very helpful. in regards to me, like if I'm on, if I'm in a bad mood and I go, or, you know, I just need a bit of cheering up or something. I've had a bad, hard day. I had a hard day today, for example, and I just don't feel like seeing any business tweets. What I might do is I have a list of funny tweeters or favorite tweeters, and I just put a, click into that list and I just see what they're up to, because I know that they'll cheer me up, that there'll be something entertaining there for me, you know. So they're good for me that way. But as regards engagement, I would, if there, if I have a list of cool people, it's locked, right? I have a list of cool people. I call them cool people. So they don't know they're on the list, obviously, if it's locked. But sometimes if I want to engage with those guys and see what they're up to, or ladies, obviously, I might see, oh, God, actually, that's a really good blog post she put up there. And then I would retweet it, and then they'll thank you, and, you know, things like that. So you can build like lists, private lists as well, so that they don't actually know that you're on that list. And also for customers, like, let's say you didn't get a customer over the line, you can go back. It's still a lead, you know. Like if you go back to that customer, have that potential customer in a private list, in a private list, you know, you could go back and see what they're up to. And if they have a special offer out or something, maybe retweet and say, this looks really cool, because then they might come back to you.
So Samantha, thanks so much for coming on the show and giving us your thoughts. That's
thank
awesome.
You. And thanks for all the tips. Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, it's cute. I have a list in Twitter, and it's people I love on Twitter. And remember that I've sent it, you know, added a few people, and it's, it, when I get back a thing, and it'll be like, oh, cool, I, you know, honored to be on your list. And it's like, wow, I'm honored that you're honored. And I went through that with Brian Kramer when I added him. He sent back a tweet that said, I'm honored. And I said, well, I'm honored that you're honored. Hey, Ross.
Well, and what I do is, you know, I have different streams set up in Hootsuite, and I look at those kind of like what she does with the different lists that she goes to. So, well, we're getting close to the end of our show, and if nobody else wants to come on, I will go ahead and wrap it up. As for always, I'd love for you guys to go to manlypinteresttips.com, click on the sidebar, and subscribe to our email community. That way you never miss great guests like I had with Dawn today, because at Manly Pinterest Tips, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.